Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Broadcasting from Bashani Radio, iHeart, live from New York City. This is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Don't forget to go to Google Play and download Bashani Radio app. We're live from New York City talking about in and everything. Also, don't forget to leave a feedback on my voicemail. You may be even on my show. You never know where this may take you. I want to take this opportunity to thank all my listeners for listening to my broadcast each and every week. We're dropping these nuggets to help you live your best life. This show is sponsored by Rashad's Reliable Cars, Terry Ingram, Senior CEO and owner. Half wheels will clean and too blessed to be stressed. Listen, my guest, I have a very, very awesome guest with me tonight. I'm very honored to have him on my show. His name is Jimmy Davis. He is the founder of Every Dot Black LLC, a company formed to assist, educate, and inspire others to create wealth through entrepreneurship by leveraging technology and a strategy of global networking. This is a membership-based company where entrepreneurs can join through the website www.every.black. They have a weekly virtual mastermind meetings are held where participants read and discuss positive books. They learn from guest speakers and network with like-minded individuals from around the world. Members are continuously promoted on the website, at trade shows, through social media, a downloadable directory and email base. Training is provided each week to show members how to use technology in their businesses. In addition, Mr. Davies has a podcast and TV show air on Every Dot Black channel on the Exposure TV network to promote entrepreneurship. The podcast and TV shows are hosted by the members of Every Dot Black. He's been commissioned to produce the Dr. Joel Dudley Sr. Legacy Project podcast to document the legacy and lifetime impact of this legendary businessman, hair care entrepreneur, and humanitarian, who was a co-founder of the Dudley Q Plus brand. The podcast can be accessed at http://. www.patreon.com/Joe Dudley Sr. He is the past president of the Raleigh-Durham chapter of the S.B. Fuller and Joel Dudley Sr. Mastermind Business Meetings. The group educates and provides networking opportunities for entrepreneurs. He's worked as a FileMaker database developer for 15 years as a contractor, an employee for numerous corporations, including Apple Computer Inc., Design Master Associates, Right Minds Marketing Agency, Child Care Services Association, and Hay Spine and Scoliosis Clinic. Good evening, good evening. Are you a doctor, Jimmy?
Well, good evening. No, I'm not a doctor, but I did learn a lot about the medical field when I was creating databases for the clinic. So that's kind of a thing. Whatever company I'm helping with their computer systems, you can't help but learn about that particular industry. But no, I'm not a doctor.
Oh, okay. Well, you're a doctor, but not a medical doctor, right?
Well, I'll take it. I'll accept it.
I know that's right. Now, listen, I ask all my guests this one question, Jimmy. What has been the lowest point of your life, and how has it propelled you to where you are today?
Oh, wow. I said the lowest point of my life was my 40th birthday. And at that time, I had, when I was much younger, I had all these things planned that I had planned to be in place by the time I'm 40 years old.
Right.
And nothing was in place, you know, nothing, you know, between finances, divorce, nothing was in place. And the way it propelled me, I realized that I can't do it alone. And that's when I started going back to church and seeking the word of God.
Amen, amen, amen. Yeah. That'll do it for you.
Yeah. Well, my cousin, a cousin of mine, she told me, she said, when life beats you up enough, you'll come back to the church. She right. was absolutely right. She was absolutely right.
Yeah, well, that scripture that says train a child up in the way he should go, mm-hmm. you know, if he depart, he definitely will be coming back in his later days, and that's a fact.
Well, that's exactly what happened. When we were children, I have a sister, just the two of us. We went to church every Sunday. We didn't have a choice. So I said, when I get old enough, I'm tired of this church, you know. And I didn't go for years. I wasn't interested. I wasn't even thinking, like, is there really a God or not? But like I said, after a while, life beats you up enough and you start to realize, hey, it's not all about me. So I started going back. I started learning more about the word of God. And I came to the conclusion that I need to ask Jesus to accept him as my Lord and Savior and start working on me.
Now, did you grow up Baptist?
Well, we went to a Baptist church for a while, and then we went to a church, Holbrook Church of God, for quite a while. But now I'm really non-denominational. I just believe in the Word. I enjoy learning more about the Word and how that applies to our lives. I just think the Bible and the Word is just it's a manual for living. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, me too, because I started reading the Bible at 6 years old. And I was like you, you know, we had no choice. You had to go to church. I don't care what you did mm-hmm. Saturday night. You were in the house of God on early Sunday morning, because my mom sent us. We went from Sunday school to night service. Anytime the door opened, we had to be in the church. And I was like, I'm not seeing any manifestation of what I'm reading. So I was kind of like you too, right? So finally mm-hmm. I found the non-denominational church, and that's where I've been for the last 30 years. So I can definitely mm-hmm. identify with that.
Right.
And so it's amazing how, you know, we have this mutual associate, Dr. Joe Dudley. And I do appreciate that interview yesterday. It was an honor, because he is a man of so much wisdom.
Oh, yes.
So much wisdom. And he has a heart of gold. He just wants to pull into you and, you know, let you be the best that you were put on this earth to be.
Oh, absolutely. And as I was sharing with you earlier, we started that project a couple of years ago. And I knew, you know, I never was familiar with the hair care industry. In fact, when I was first invited to the meeting, I had an invite email and invited me to a meeting to meet Mr. Joe Dudley. And I was like, well, who's he? You know, so I really was going to dismiss it, but I Googled him. And when I Googled him, all this information came up. And I asked my sister, I said, do you know Joe Dudley with Dudley Haircare? She goes, yeah, Joe Dudley. You know, I'm like, okay, I didn't know.
Right.
But I started going to the meetings. And I'm learning more about his accomplishments, but he's so humble and modest. You would never think that.
Right.
Even though I've been going to the meetings for years, it wasn't until we started this project and we started interviewing people like yourself, and person after person, week after week, are talking about all the great things he's done and how he's impacted them. And then it's like, and it was funny because people have asked us how long is we going to continue the project, and we said, well, we're going to stop interviewing, but the truth is we keep finding more and more people that he's impacted, and we don't know when we can stop because the stories just don't stop coming. So yes, it just really hit home how great of a life that he's led and how many people he's touched when we started doing these interviews, like people like yourself, to hear those stories.
And what's so amazing about him, he didn't stop in the U.S., he went international with his stuff. I was like, wow. It was just sitting down talking to him about his life story. And, you know, he going to show you that tape soon as he get to talking. He going to pull that tape out for you, right?
That's right.
And just to see, you know, him from North Carolina just go around the world and touch bases with, I mean, people nobody would ever probably get to touch. You know what I'm saying? Because that's just how he is. He fits right into any situations. But I'm glad he's focusing on Africa because, you know, that's our roots. So I'm very excited he's doing that.
Yeah, he had a school in Zimbabwe.
Right.
Also Brazil as well, because there's a lot of people of African descent in South America.
Okay.
And so people were, they had a school in Brazil. They were bringing up people from all over the world to Dudley Cosmetology University to be trained. And so he's trained over 30,000 people on hair care and beauty products that they provided. So it's huge. It's absolutely huge. But like I say, just meeting him, he's just so humble about it. You would never know that.
Exactly.
Just right off the bat. Yeah,
exactly. But, you know, back in the day when I grew up, we didn't, we had to do our own hair. So, like I said, you know, his thing was door to door. So we would buy his products, but I had no idea who he was, no idea I would ever meet him.
Right.
So, you know, it's about connections and who you're with. And I tell young girls all the time, I'm like, you know, you got to position yourself. Because once you position yourself, the door open to a lot of opportunities for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, because it's about who you know and where you go. That's what it is about. So this...
And go ahead.
This Every Dot Black, did this come in through the collaboration with Mr. Dudley, or this is something, this is one of your visions? Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, I'd be glad to. It's really one of my visions, but through the mastermind meetings, it helped me to refine it. Just to give you a little background, I've been in the computer field one way or another for 30-plus years. I started actually in 1988. I had a janitorial service in the mid-80s, and I was looking for a computer to help me with my janitorial service. And a friend showed me a Macintosh computer that had just come out a few years earlier, and I knew immediately. I said, I got to get into this computer thing. I just knew it. So actually in January 1988, I launched McMaster's Computer Training Service, and I tell people I had two problems. One, I didn't have a computer yet, and the other problem is that I didn't know how to use one. I just knew I wanted to get started with it. So when people would contact me for training, I would find, actually, I put an ad in the paper at that time and found a couple of instructors, and then they would go in and do the training. But within about 6 months, I was doing the training myself. And so the company grew to the point, now you have to remember, this was in the late 80s, mid 90s.
Uh-huh.
No one knew how to use any software anywhere. Like Microsoft Word was coming out, and Excel, and PowerPoint, and all kinds of software, Photoshop and Illustrator.
Right.
PageMaker at that time, Quark Express, InDesign, all of the stuff's coming out and nobody knows how to use it. So what started out as just a passion became a business. I had to hire other instructors. We covered 8 states throughout the Southeast, 30 cities and 8 states. We'd go from city to city to city, just teaching people how to use computers. You know, how to use Microsoft Word, how to use Excel, how to use software, how to even just general information about their computers alone. Because a lot of people, it was just new. And companies knew that they needed to go there, but they didn't have anyone to train them. We also did a lot of training for the military. And I like the military because they call me back every 3 months because they had more people coming through, you know. And so that was an ongoing thing for several years. I was at NASA Langley, at the facility in NASA in Langley, not Langley, but Hampton, Virginia. Uh-huh. I was there for 2 years teaching the staff, the scientists, the personnel how to use computers.
Software.
And so it just grew to that point. But around the year 2000, I could see that the demand was declining. And also it was taxing all the travel all the time and trying to keep up with all the software. So I started specializing in a program called FileMaker as a database developer. Uh-huh. Basically, I was helping companies manage large amounts of data. But fast forward at around year 2015, I realized I'm always helping somebody else, but what did I really want to do? And that's when I left my job at that time I was working for a medical clinic in Raleigh developing medical software. And I left there to decide what I wanted to do. Met Joe Dudley through an invitation through a mutual friend and start learning about the importance of entrepreneurship and how we need to think of ourselves as job makers and not job takers. I'm sure you've heard that phrase before.
Yes, that's a nugget.
That's right. And so that's when I realized I needed to focus my computer skills on helping other entrepreneurs with their technology. Because it doesn't matter what kind of business you have today, you need to have some basic technology skills. I don't care what you do. You've got to have some basic technology skills in today's market. If you don't, you're going to get left behind. And it's not slowing down. It's actually accelerating. So so that's what we've been doing for the last 3 years. We officially launched in 2018, Every.Black. And we were meeting just like Mr. Dudley does, continues to do. But when COVID hit, we went to Zoom. We went viral, and now we're bringing in members from all over the U.S. and actually outside of the country. And you mentioned Africa. Now we're launching a chapter in Zimbabwe in another week, January 13th. And we're launching a chapter in the Caribbean out of St. Lucia in February, 1st of February, 2022. So it's just continuing to grow.
That is so awesome. I am just so glad I got the opportunity to meet you yesterday as well. And another thing, when you're in with Mr. Dudley, you know, because I had never met anybody that never had a job. He never had a job. He created his own job.
Right.
And I was like, what? Oh, we can do that, you know?
Right.
But it was just such a fascinating experience. And then, like I said, the meetings each week, he's bringing in guests that's just pouring stuff into you that's going to make you become an entrepreneur.
Right. If you go to the meetings, if you attend the meetings, whether in person or Zoom or however you do it, you can't help but grow.
Right.
You just can't help but grow. You look back, you know, 3 months previously, and you realize you've come along. You're learning, you're growing by being around, hanging out with like-minded individuals, people that are doing positive things. And you mentioned Mr. Dudley never had a job. Well, I had a job early on. Out of college, I actually got a job working for the Social Security Administration, and I hated it. I absolutely have. I did. But it's like, I think that's when I really realized I don't want to work for somebody else. And I started trying, I tried selling hot dogs at the county fair. I tried Amway. I tried real estate. I had a janitorial service. I think I mentioned that. And actually, the janitorial service is doing well. And I liked the independence. But in all honesty, I got tired. I got tired of cleaning toilets. And we were measuring our success by the number of toilets we're cleaning a day. You know, like, well, 10 toilets. Now we're up to 50 toilets a day. That means more business, more work, money, right? But also it was hard to get good help because quality help is not that's not their long-term aspiration to be in the janitorial field. But those that, that you really want to get rid of, they wouldn't go away.
Right.
So when a friend, when a friend showed me a Macintosh computer, I was like, okay, this is where I want to go. And I just found, discovered my passion. I knew I liked the independence of being an entrepreneur, but I didn't know really what I wanted. I kept trying different things until I found what I really was passionate about and enjoyed and had a knack for as well.
Yeah, and like I was saying yesterday, you know, we have these gifts, but we don't focus on it, and we don't really find out. A lot of people, I'm not going to say we don't, a lot of people just don't focus on the purpose and the passion, finding their passion, mm-hmm. what they're put here to do.
Right.
Yes.
And I've heard Dr. Dennis Kimbrough, who's also a friend of Joe Dudley's.
Oh, yeah.
He said, if you don't have a goal, then your goal should be to find a goal. So if you don't have a passion, that's your, you should be passionate about finding a passion. What is it you really were put on this earth to do? And we all have talents, every one of us.
Yes.
But it's up to us to nourish them, develop them, and put them to use, put them to work, help someone else. That's what I believe.
Yeah, that is so true. And, you know, I just look at people when you're trying to impart in them this part of the country. It's really sad that they don't even want to learn. So I'm like, I got to go somewhere where somebody, you know, they going to learn, and I'm going to learn along with them. So,
well, you know, Harriet Tubman, she said she could have saved a lot more people if they had only known they were slaves.
Exactly.
That's the same mentality. They don't know. They don't know that there's something better for them. In general, you know, and that's another mission, I think, that Joe Dudley's done. He's opened a lot of eyes, and
yes.
Hopefully that's what we're doing by continuing that same message.
Exactly.
And I think that's what you're doing with your podcast show here. I mean, you're educating people every week as well. So.
Exactly. And it's just, like I said, it's just been such an honor. And it was strange because, do you know Dr. Herbert Harris?
Yes, he's a member of Every Dot Black.
Is he?
Yes, he is. He's spoken to our group several times.
Okay.
In fact, the first book that we read was The 12 Universal Laws of Success, a book that he authored.
Yeah.
And he was there for our very first meeting to initiate our very first meeting for Every Dot Black.
Yeah, he called me New Year's Day. And
did he?
Yeah, because his second edition of that book, I'm in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the second edition, I'm in it. And that was so exciting to see, you know, to see that in print. But he was instrumental in getting me started on that way because, you know, he was in Protandem. And I told him the other day, I said, look, I got my mom on Protandem. She died at 100. But if you would have seen her, Jimmy, in that casket, she looked 25 years old. It was just totally amazing. But people wouldn't believe she was 100 because she just looked like she was like 40 or something. So that's how me and Dr. Harris got together as well. But we flew to a book con in New York that he was at, and this is how I met my mentor. And he was just so fascinated that I flew to New York just to meet him. And I'm like, well, yeah, because I like what you're doing. So, you know, like I said, we've been together a couple of years, and we're in the process of getting me straight because he's definitely straight. So he's in the process of getting me straight.
Yeah, he's a real renaissance, and he does a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's written books. I know the 12 Universal Laws of Success is the most successful book. He's written other books as well.
Yeah.
And he's even put out music records. Oh, I guess
well, that's what he's doing right now. He told me he's getting ready to do some music. He's getting ready to put out another book. So I was like, okay, well, I'm getting ready to put out another book too. So if BookCon is in New York this year, me and you going to be there.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to come to BookCon because I know you got a book, right?
No, actually, I don't have my own book. That's something that
Jimmy.
No, I really don't. And that's something, that's one of my goals. It's like, I need to do that. Actually, I've spoken to several people about working, helping me with that. But no, I don't have my own book.
Yes. You got to write this book.
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
You do. Because you, from looking at your bio, because I'm looking, you got a bachelor's degree in applied mathematics with a minor in physics and a minor in land surveying and topographical drafting.
I had to explain that. I went to school to become a land surveyor. You know, you, when you buy property, you have someone survey the property.
Uh-huh.
And so there's a lot of math involved in land surveying to, plot out the boundaries and all of that.
Right.
And going into my junior year in the land surveying program, I realized I don't want to be a land surveyor. So I went to my counselor and I said, look, I just need to graduate. I need to get out of here. What's the quickest way I can graduate? And he said, well, you've had a lot of math. He said, a few more math classes, you can graduate with a bachelor's in mathematics. And I said, sign me up.
No, that's right.
I was trying to get out. I said, I'm not going to be a land surveyor. And then it turned out I had to take like one or two other electives and I got a minor in physics. So I said, okay. So that's how it happened. It wasn't that it was planned. I was just trying to get out of there.
Well, I bet you were valedictorian of your class, right, in high school?
No, not at all. No, actually, I always had good grades. I always had excellent grades in anything I was interested in, and I did just enough to get by in things I didn't. But I think in college is when I really blossomed. You know, a lot of people, we just come out into our own at different times.
Mm-hmm.
And in college, I really came out. Before then, I was really shy and would always, I was just really a shy person and not, I wasn't Mr. Social or anything like that. But in college, I joined the fraternity, became president of the chapter. I was one of the student managers at the student union building and just active in a number of things in college. But again, I went to my counselor. I told him, look, I just need to get out of here as soon as possible. Because, I had actually had a young family. We had our child and married early.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't stop us from going to school.
Right, right.
Both got our degrees. So, that was all about. And then I ended up getting a job with Social Security Administration right out of college. And you stop me if I'm going running over, but I was going through one of the school buildings one day and one of the counselors says, I'd like for you to interview with the Social Security Administration. And I was like, well, I'm not interested in working for the Social Security Administration. And he says, well, it'd be a good experience, just to interview experience. And he says, if I don't find students, they won't keep coming back. So I did it. The interview called me back for a second interview and ended up getting the job out of college. And they paid my tuition for my last year. So I said, okay, I'll do that. But then once I actually got the job and had nothing to do with mathematics or physics or anything, I just hated it. And that's when I realized I want to be on my own. A few years later, a friend showed me a computer and the rest is history.
Oh, I know too, because my first job was working at the Department of Social Services. I'm like, no, I mean, here I am with the degree in criminal justice, and I'm sitting at being a receptionist at the Department of Social Services.
Social Services, right.
I don't think
Right. Well, I was an SSI claims representative, and there's nothing wrong for anyone that's doing that, that's listening. If that's your thing, I mean, congratulations to you. It just wasn't for me. But I just realized it didn't matter how fast I processed the claims. It did not matter. They just kept coming. They just kept coming. Like, it didn't matter how fast I went. Anyway. So I just realized I can't do this the rest of my life.
I know. I got a cousin that's an attorney here in North Carolina. And she was like, Linda, how in the world do you deal with these people coming through the prison system and through the court system? She works mm-hmm. for the state of North Carolina's attorney. So she did try to do criminal law for a minute, but she said, oh, no, I can't do this. So that was short-lived with her. And I tell people, if you try something, it won't take you long to know it's not for you.
Exactly.
You ain't got to stay 10 or 20 years. You'll know within the first month if this is something you're going to like or not like.
Exactly. And I think that's a very important way to look at it, a great way to look at it, because you have to do, you know, they say that it's better to try something and learn from it, even if it doesn't work out. You learn from it, and now you can move on to something. You're getting one step closer to what you really are intended for. But if you don't try, you'll never know. You know, if I had never tried to be a land surveyor, I might still be to this day thinking I should have become a land surveyor. But once I got into it, I realized that wasn't for me. So it's really important to, actually, just do it. Or as an old African proverb that I like to quote sometimes, it says, if you want to learn how to chop down trees, you got to chop down trees.
Right.
So basically, you just got to do it. You know, try it, and then you'll learn. You'll learn one way or the other, if you love it or not.
That is so true. But a lot of people, you know, they just talk about what they want. And I'm like, I tell them, when I leave this world, I'm going to be done everything and probably more than I shouldn't have done.
No, I think that's a great way to look at it, because I'd rather try something and know that either it worked or it didn't.
Right.
I always wonder. I wonder what if I had only done this or I'd only done that. And especially if you think of have an idea and you don't do it, and then somebody else comes along and does it.
Right.
And it becomes, like, well, that was my idea, yeah, but you didn't act on it. You know, they did. So, yeah, if I have an idea, I want to find out if this is going to work or not. I try not to, actually, I want to leave this earth empty so that I've done everything that I was put on this earth to do.
Exactly. A lot of people tell me, Linda, you need to stop telling people your vision God gave you. I'm like, well, look, he gave it to me. So I'm the only one can really complete it, in my opinion. But, you know, I'm like, I don't care. I know you're not capable of doing it, so that's why I can tell it to you. So, but it's just so, so amazing how we as African Americans, we're the smartest people in this world, in my opinion. I don't care what nobody else do, Jimmy. We're God's people, and he's going to take care of us if he don't take care of nobody else.
And I think what you said is important, too, to share your vision, because what happens when you start to share it, some people may not hear it or understand it, but others will, and others will support, help you get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they won't be able to help you get there if they don't know what it is.
Exactly.
So when we started Every Dot Black, or when Mr. Dudley started the mastermind meetings, you know, what if he had never done that? So by him doing that, then people that are, I guess, in his tribe, if you want to call it, resonates with,
mm-hmm.
they're gonna start being a part of that, you know, like you and like myself. So,
yeah. It is just truly amazing, because I was telling Dr. Harris, I'm like, you know, when we were little, we looked at cartoons and, you know, they was always running up to a castle. So I was like, that's where I'm going to live when I get grown. And so I don't know if you've been to Hearst's Castle. Have you?
No, I have not.
Oh, you got to go there. I mean, Randolph Hearst built this for his girlfriend. So I was like, well, is she living in this? I wonder what the wife living in. But them being from New York, I'm sure the wife wasn't living in a castle. That is the most beautiful place I've ever been, except Honolulu. But, I mean, you go up the hill, and it's on the top of a hill too, Jimmy. And you go up this hill and all this land. I was like, oh, my God. But it's beautiful. That's one thing, one place you need to go before you leave this earth, Hearst's Castle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been there.
Yeah, it is beautiful. And the furniture is just so antique. And I was like, wow, this is so gorgeous. for nobody to be living in it at this moment. I think they sold it to the state. So I'm like, this is a waste of time and money that nobody's taking advantage of this beauty.
Mm-hmm.
You know. All right. Well, listen, I do want to appreciate you. I do appreciate you for taking out time of your busy schedule to do this interview with me. So I would like for you to drop three nuggets. You've been dropping them all along, but just give us three more nuggets that will help my listeners live a better life.
Oh, wow. Well, I think I mentioned, I love African proverbs. And the one is, like I said, mentioned is, if you want to learn how to cut down trees, then you have to cut down trees. Basically, you just have to go out there and do it. You got to do it. Let's see, another nugget. I have actually my own quote that says, whenever there is change, there's opportunity. Since change is constant, there's always opportunity.
I like that.
And I think that's really in line with, again, going back to Dudley saying that whenever there's a problem, there's always a seed of advantage, equal or greater advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think one more I'll share with you, and that is, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, you have to go together.
Basically, all right.
Basically, we need each other. You know, not that we have to. I still support independence, but you still have to network with like-minded individuals. And
so true.
If you're out there on an island, you cannot. How can I put this? You know, by working together as a team, you're drawing from the strengths of all the individuals in the team.
Right.
And none of us have all of the qualities of the team, but together, the team, you know, can help one another succeed. So if you want to go fast, you can go alone. But if you want to go far, you need to go together.
Well, listeners, I tell you, you better take those three and run with it, because that was some wisdom and knowledge right there. Now, Jimmy, tell my listeners how to get in contact with you, social media or however can they contact you.
Absolutely. Well, first, I always tell people you can reach us on our website at www.every.black. That's EVERY. And then a dot, BLACK, every.black. It's not .com, it's not .net, it's just every.black. And our slogan is .black is the new .com.
All right, so
you
now.
You can reach me by phone at 919-265-8045. That's 919-265-8045. Or email at Jimmy, J-I-M-M-Y, at every, E-V-E-R-Y, dot B-L-A-C-K, every dot black. So anyway, yeah, and once I realized that dot black is the domain, mm-hmm. I said, oh, I got to have that.
I know, that's so, right.
No.com, no.net. And it was funny because our slogan, I was telling people, they were like, every.black.com. I said, no, it's just every dot black. Don't put a .com at the end.
Uh-huh.
I said, it's not no.com, no.net. I said, every dot black. Dot black is the new .com. I just said it like that. And
that
people
is
were like,
so awesome.
Yeah. And several people said, I like that. And so
yeah.
I realized, I said, okay, that's our slogan. But it wasn't planned. It was just came out of me one day when I was trying to explain to people, don't keep adding .com, .net.
Exactly. And that's very unique too, Jimmy. I've never heard an email like that before. So that is totally awesome. Well, again, it was an honor to have you on my radio broadcast. And I do thank you for taking out time of your busy schedule to do this for me tonight. I think we're going to have a long partnership there, Jimmy.
Well, thank you. And I think so as well. I think so as well. We're going to get you on one of our podcast shows as well.
Okay. I will do it. You got the number.
Okay.
Okay. So broadcasting from Bashani Radio, iHeart, live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to LyndaMonroe.com. Again, don't forget to go to Google Play and download Bashani Radio app. We're live from New York City talking about anything, in and everything. Also, listeners, I'm telling you, take these nuggets Mr. Jimmy Davis dropped because they were hot, okay? I also want to thank you for continuing to listen to my broadcast each and every week. Don't forget to go to LyndaMonroe.com and order my book, Overcoming All Odds, The Life I Should Not Have Lived. And if you can't read, guess what? I got it in audio for you. I'll read it for you. I'll read it to you, okay? This show is sponsored by Rashad Reliable Cars, Terry Ingram, Senior CEO and owner. Too blessed to be stressed. Until next week, this time, same place, same station. All is well. God bless you, and so do I. And be blessed. Thank you, Jimmy. We'll talk later.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so very much.
Bye-bye.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stat, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.